And if you have your Bible this morning, I would like to invite you to join me in the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. They're all good. But this is a good one. It's one of my favorites, reading of the blessings that are ours in Christ. Romans chapter 8. I'll give you a chance to get your hands free. And if you would join me as we make our confession together, the words are on the screen. Just ask that, not only here in person, but back in the online, if you join us, we invite you to join us as well. So if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read just a couple of verses here to start, I wanted to just give a little background because today, the Lord willing, I'll share the last of a four-part series of messages I've been sharing about just the power of focus, how faith influences our focus. What we believe influences what we focus on, and then our focus influences our direction. And 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, I shared a message on three ways that we can strengthen our faith because we persevere by faith in God. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at how we can experience the peace of God. He says, if you dwell on these things and do these things, that you can experience the peace of God. We can, the peace of God to guard our hearts and minds. And then last week, we looked at two ways to just keep focusing on Jesus and to keep coming back to put our focus on Him, because there's always something to distract us. And if we can be distracted, then it's easier to be discouraged and defeated, because the scripture we saw last week said that one of the indications is that we've gotten our focus off is that we become weary and discouraged in our souls. And so to be able to get that focus back and consider Him who endured such hostility against Himself for us. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says this, Romans 8, 5, for those who live according to the flesh, that means our tendency to sin. It doesn't mean our body. The word flesh here can mean our natural tendency we all have towards sin. So those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Someone said, as the mind goes, so the body goes. So to set our minds on sinful things will take us in that direction. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, if we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, then we can live that way. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, having that tendency, if we're carnally minded, if that's what dominates our mind, it is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How does life and peace sound to you right now? Not bad, pretty good actually, huh? The key is to have what this verse calls to, in verse 6 where it says to be spiritually minded. Some translations word it this way, and I'd like to, I'm gonna focus on this because it's more of a mindset. Because someone could be new age and be spiritually minded. So it's worded this way as well. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So that's what I want to focus on these few moments that we have today. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Would you say that with me? The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. That's the message this morning. Our mindset then is like a lens through which we see life. I have glasses on, I'm nearsighted. And spiritually, that's not necessarily a good thing. To be spiritually nearsighted, because we become so focused, the Bible talks about we can be so narrowly focused, we even forget that we've been cleansed from our sins. So to have an eternal perspective, to be able to see life and everything in life from a spiritual, God's Spirit's perspective. So that's the lens it speaks of here. A man by the name of John Ortberg, he wrote one of the day's devotions in the Lord devotions we put out quarterly. I think it was in last quarter. And he said, I better read it to you. I want to make sure I get it correct. He said, setting your mind is like setting a thermostat. It determines the climate you live in. Setting your mind is like setting a thermostat. It determines the climate you live in. And I want to focus on three ways that I believe we can help live in the mindset of the Spirit. But I would like to ask you this morning and invite your input. Let's just expose it and be aware of it. What does dwelling on either negative or sinful things produce? What does setting our mind on negative things? What does setting our mind on sinful things produce? We're talking about setting our mind like setting a thermostat, Rick.
Unrest in your spirit.
Okay, unrest. So definitely not life and peace, right? So it can lead to unrest within just by setting our mind on what's negative, setting our mind on what is sinful. What else? Anything else you can think of? What does it produce? It robs us of our joy, right? So it robs us of joy. Anything else? Does it produce anxiety or fear? So we set our mind on that. It can make us anxious. It's like it fuels it. It feeds it. What we focus on tends to grow. What about conflict? If we set our mind just on negative things, you think that could lead to conflict in a relationship? Maybe health issues? So basically nothing good comes out of it, right? So we want to rise above it and we want to overcome this. And so I said conflict, anger. You ever done that? You just dwell on something as man like it's just fuel in the fire. And it just, gets brighter and brighter. Someone said, if you fight fire with fire, you get a bigger fire. So Jim and Karen Evans used to say, or I guess still do, that you overcome a spirit with opposite spirit. So to fight fire with fire, we get a bigger fire. Three ways to live by the mindset of the Spirit this morning. Three ways. Let me just tell them to you real quick, and then we'll go back, take a few moments, focus on each one, okay? Number one, how do we live in the mindset of the Spirit? First, we must rely on God's Spirit. Second, we must continually rely on God's Spirit. Let me say it that way. We must continually receive God's Word and then continually represent God's Son. It's got to be continual because we're continually hit with something that's either going to distract us, weigh us down, tempt us, test us, try us. So to keep coming back to that focus, to live by the mindset of the Spirit, we all want the life and peace. We're not talking about just existence life. We're talking about the life Jesus gives, the salvation life, the eternal life. He said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, or life to the full. That's the life that Jesus gives. So the mindset of the Spirit is His life and peace, His peace. So first, to rely continually. Would you say continually? Continually rely on God's Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now, when? Right now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's a lifestyle. That's what walk represents. That's why I'm saying this. It's a lifestyle. It's lifestyle. It's something continual. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we cannot have the mindset of God's Spirit until we are first born again by God's Spirit and indwelt by Him. We have to come to that point of our lives, doesn't matter if you're 5 or 105 or anywhere in between, when we understand that we have sinned and we need forgiveness from God, and come to believe the truth that God loved us so much that even though our sin would separate us from Him forever, He came to bridge that gap, and Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, a debt which we could never pay. And He came back to life 3 days later, and we simply come to Him with that humility and childlike faith to say that we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and call on Him. He forgives us and saves us. And this chapter mentions so many blessings. There's one right here. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. Now, Satan will try to heap it on us, but Jesus doesn't. He doesn't condemn us. He's praying for us. He frees us from the law of sin and death. He goes on in this chapter and he says, He's made us more than conquerors. They're all the blessings that are ours by simply being in Christ. But we must have Him living on the inside if we're going to have that mindset of the Spirit. Would you drop down to verse 14? I'll come back, read a couple verses. But Romans chapter 8, verse 14, again, just focusing on, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When we come to that place of believing in Jesus as Lord, God adopts us into His family, cleanses us from all sin, and His Holy Spirit indwells us. Then verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I want to come back to that maybe at the end, but please just try to remember that we are heirs together with Christ, all right? If indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. Whatever we face in this life, He's with us, and we'll be glorified together with Him forever. Now, if you look back at verse 3, Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, and then this verse, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So again, walk is a lifestyle. It's fellowship with the Lord. So continually relying on God's Spirit to live with the mindset of the Spirit. There's always something to try to rob us of the life of God, always something trying to tear us down and rob us of the peace of God. So to continually rely on the Spirit of God is how we can maintain, at least it's one step, the first step in living this way. We cannot live the Christian life without Him. And that's the point. We can't, but we can stay in close fellowship with Him and walk in the Spirit and have the mindset of the Spirit. That's what we can do. And I want to focus on what we can do. Now, rely, when you hear the word rely, I'm not sure what comes to mind. It just means to trust Him. So to rely on God's Spirit means that we trust Him. We trust God and we do what He says. We trust God and do what He says. I was thinking of 10 lepers who came to Jesus one day, and they couldn't get close to Him. They had some type of a skin disease, and they said, Jesus, Son of David, Master, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And here's what Jesus said, go, show yourselves to the priests. 6 words, go, show yourselves to the priests. And here's what the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Not as they felt, not as they understood. Well, I just don't, how is that going to help? As they went, that shows they were relying on what He said. Brothers and sisters, many times the miracle occurs in the obedience. And if we have to figure it all out or feel it before we're obedient, we may rob ourselves of whatever blessing and miracle God has on the other side of our just trusting and obeying what he said. That was a good place to say amen, but that's okay. Y'all don't have to. But the miracle often occurs in the obedience as they went. Brothers and sisters, the Lord loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He's in you. And we can live in close fellowship with him, and we can rely on God's Spirit to help us. Let's believe him, and let's rely on him as we do what he says. That's showing that we trust him. So the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace, to continually rely on God's Spirit and then continually receive God's word. Colossians chapter 3, if you would turn there with me when you have your hands free. Colossians chapter 3, speaking about those lepers, former lepers. They were all cleansed, but only one came back to say thank you. But he got something more that the other nine didn't. So it's always good to give God thanks and to give God praise. I've become more convinced of it than ever, of the power in giving thanks to God, giving thanks to the Lord. So rely on God's Spirit. Second, receive God's word. Now, God's Spirit inspired God's word. So as we continually receive it, we feed our faith in God, and it helps us keep the mindset of the Spirit so that we can experience the life and peace that flows from him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read just a few verses, not this whole chapter, but pick certain ones. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above." The word "seek" there is written, as I've studied, like in a present tense, where it says, keep seeking. One translation says, keep focusing on things above. Keep seeking. Keep focusing on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Then verse 2, set your mind. Here we're talking about setting our mind again. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So what is the difference? What is the contrast of things above, where Christ is, and things on earth? How do we figure this out? Well, we don't have to. The Bible tells us here. So if you drop down to verse 5, again, just for time, Colossians 3, 5 says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth." And this is what it's speaking of: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The Bible tells us to consider ourselves dead to sin and consider ourselves alive to God. So when it talks about putting to death your members, it's not talking about some physical harm. It's saying live like you've died to immorality and idolatry. Live what we would call a resurrected life. Live a resurrected life. We consider ourselves dead to those earthly, old, sinful ways, but we consider ourselves alive to God. Verse 8 tells us some more things that are of the earth that we're to not really focus on, we're to put away. Verse 8 says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." So we're to put off all of these ways because they're associated with the earth. And he says, seek the things that are above, not the things that are below. So he says, this is all the earth. Consider yourself dead to this. Put this off. But here's what we seek. Here's what we focus on, the Christ-like ways. Verse 12, Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as the elect of God," we're coming up on what they call midterms and elections. God chose you. Jesus said, you are chosen. He said, I've chosen. You didn't really choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So because you are chosen, and then he goes on in verse 12 and says, you are holy and beloved. Because you are chosen by God and you are loved by God, put on, now these are going to be the heavenly ways, the Christ-like ways, put on tender mercies, Put on kindness. Put on humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against the other, which can certainly happen, we're human, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So he says, put on the Christ-like ways of humility and love and forgiveness and just worship, focusing on Him. These virtues are to characterize the church of Jesus Christ. That's the context of what he's saying here, because verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. So humility, kindness, love, forgiveness, these should characterize the congregation. These should characterize the body of Christ. Wherever we are in the world, these virtues should mark Christians as followers of Jesus. And then verse 16, this really goes in with the receiving continually the word. So we continually rely on God's Spirit, continually receive God's word. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the word of Christ, the word of God, can dwell in us richly one way by worship and by praise and by singing songs that are based in Scripture. That's why it's important, not just of what the style is. Style is preference. I like different styles of music personally. And some may like one style over another. That's fine. That's not sinful, evil, or bad. It's personal. But to worship, if we want the Word of God to dwell in us richly, it has to have some Scripture to it. Not just something that's going to tap, you know, get me, you know. If you want to move, move. That's fine. But that particular song may not build your faith when you're facing that trial and test or temptation that seems so strong. It may not build up your faith when you feel anything but life and peace. So to have the mindset of the Spirit, life and peace, one way we can get it in us is by worshiping and praising the Lord with songs that are birthed out of God's Word. Sing it. Children can memorize a song. And that's an easy way. It's a way to get many cultures in the world aren't even very literate. It doesn't mean they're stupid. They're just more oral cultures. But they can still hear God's word. They can still receive it. They can still sing it and give Him praise with thanksgiving in their hearts. And there's something about, that's why it's so powerful, because it is not only an expression of our faith. Giving thanks is an exercise of our faith. And then our faith is strengthened. So it's worship. It's important. Brothers and sisters, it's important to have a heart of worship, not just on a Sunday morning. It's important to come together. I thank God for the time that we worship together. But to live that way as a lifestyle, continually receiving God's word. Now, I'm a reader. I like to read God's word. But we can continually receive God's word by hearing it, by reading it, by singing it, by fellowship together. I love the fellowship in the Word. I love sharing Scripture and what'd you get out of that? Or what, you know, and how God spoke to you through the Word of God. I love that. And it's a way for the Word of God, the Word of Christ, to dwell in us richly. Please, let's be wise about what we receive. Because there's always something trying to get into our hearts and mind, and we don't need to open the door to everything. Let's be wise and discerning about what we receive into our minds and into our hearts. So continually receive God's word. The mindset of the Spirit is what? Life and peace, right? Life and peace. And then third, to continually represent God's Son. So to continually rely on God's Spirit, continually receive God's word, and then continually represent God's Son. It's only, they go together. It's only as we continually rely on God's Spirit in us and receive God's word that we can really continually represent Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says it like this. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name, that means the authority and power of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to read that verse to you from the New Living Translation because it gives a little more explanation of what name means there, like someone going in the name of another person as their ambassador or representative. Colossians 3:17 says in a New Living, and whatever you do or say, whatever you do or say, right, verbally, written, audibly, socially, text, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So as we continually rely on God's Spirit to empower us and continually receive God's Word to guide us, we can continually represent God's Son to those around us. I'll say it again. As we continually rely on God's Spirit to empower us and continually receive God's Word to guide us, we can continually represent God's Son to those around us. Now look how practical the Bible is here, because it goes right into our relationships, right in the context of what we're talking. We just talked about the church fellowship and how virtues should characterize the Christian church. Now he goes right into the family and then right into those who are in the world. And he says this. In fact, I want to read this to you. One of the devotions I read is from a father and son, last name Blackaby. And recently, one of the day's devotions said this: broken relationships are the epidemic of our day. Broken relationships are the epidemic of our day. Sin alienates family members, separates friends, divides churches, and destroys marriages. Sin alienates family members, separates friends, divides churches, and destroys marriages. Look how practical God's word is here in Colossians chapter 3. Then it goes right into verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, that's both parents, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. That's very practical. I want to read it to you from the Passion Translation because it gives a little more detail out of it. How many of you ever heard this? They're so heavenly minded, they're... y'all heard that? They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And we understand what that means, right? Somebody just kind of having their head, whatever, and not being practical, being real, or whatever, helpful. But it's only with the mindset of the Spirit, God's Spirit, that we can really be of earthly good. I'm talking about earthly good in time and in eternity. To live like Jesus, we need the mindset of the Spirit. And we have to live it out right where we are. I mean, right in our own homes, our own families, our work associates, neighbors, brothers and sisters of church, and people we, you know, get on our nerves, or out in the stores, the representative on the phone, and wherever, and whatever, in word and deed, representing Jesus. So it says this in the Passion Translation, Colossians 3:18, if you want to just follow on the screen. Kind of breaks it down a little bit more. It says, let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband. For this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive toward her. Let the children respect and pay attention to their parents in everything, for this pleases our Lord Jesus. And fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they may become discouraged. The whole key to having the mindset of the Spirit is living in close fellowship with the Lord. It's just like we said back in Romans 8, we can live in close fellowship with God's Spirit, and that's how we can represent Him faithfully. It's not just about doing something, it's about being someone, and when we're in close fellowship with Him, it's got to come out sooner or later. That's what Jesus said. Don't let your light, don't hide it. Go ahead and just live as a follower of Jesus and let your light shine. Live in such a way that others can see what you do and bring glory to your Father in heaven. God's word is practical. It instructs us in how to live. It instructs us in how to be a testimony of the Lord in our families, in our churches, and out in the world as well. As it goes on in chapter 4, these two verses here of Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this: walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. One translation says, make the most of every opportunity. Whenever we have an opportunity, especially to share the good news and to be Jesus to someone who doesn't know him yet, to a non-Christian, we're to take advantage of that time. And then he says very specifically in verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Sometimes we just have to add a little salt. We got to not put salt in a wound, but to make it a little tasty, make it a little more flavorable, a little more, what do they call it, palatable. So let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer or how you ought to respond to each one. And brothers and sisters, we all fall short at times, but here's what we can do. Let's be quick to repent and make it right and stay in close fellowship with the Lord. We can do. That's maintaining the mindset of the Spirit. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Would you say that with me? The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So we continually, in fact, I want to close with this. Would you go back to Numbers 13? Let me just show you one account. Numbers chapter 13. Two people basically living this out. Numbers 13. Continually rely on God's Spirit. Continually receive God's word. And continually represent God's Son. Some of you would recognize the name of a pastor from a generation ago. He spoke with a real prophetic voice, strong voice to the Christian church, I believe. His name was A.W. Tozer. And he said, the mind is intellect with an emotional tug strong enough to determine action. The mind is intellect, it's our thinking, but it also includes something of an emotion that is strong enough to tug on us and take us in a certain direction. That's why I've said the faith, focus, and direction really go together. The mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the Spirit desires God and His will. And we read about two men here in Numbers chapter 13 named Joshua and Caleb. And God said about them, they had a different spirit, and God said they followed me wholeheartedly. They had a different spirit, and they followed me wholeheartedly. God freed his people from hundreds of years of slavery, and here they're out in the desert, and he told them, I'm giving you, that land is yours, now you go and occupy it. He gave them his word. But they said, we're going to send spies. We're going to scout it out first. We'll check it out. So one from every tribe went, they came, they checked it out, and went back. And 10 of them said, that's really like the Lord said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, man. I mean, it's nice, and here's fruit from it. And they said, but they had some kind of like walled cities around. And we saw these descendants there. They were sons of the giants. And here's what Caleb said, Numbers 13:30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I love his attitude. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Now, hold on just a second. Do you see the differences in the mindsets? You see the differences in the perspective? They all saw the same thing. They all experienced the same thing, but they had a whole different mindset about them. 10 and 2. So he says in verse 31, again, we're not able, verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. Oh, really? Well, what are you doing back? You see that? Devours its inhabitants. And the people whom we saw were great stature, as the giants were there. And he said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and they saw us like grasshoppers too. Now, how do you know what somebody else sees you like? To be honest, other people don't think about us as much as we think they do. That's the truth. But see their mindset? God told them, God didn't free them from slavery to kill him off in the wilderness. He told them he was going to give them land. But instead of believing God, they said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's just go back to our old comfortable slave lifestyle. That's not life in peace. Then over in chapter 14, Joshua speaks up in verse 6. Joshua says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, both of them, who were among those who spied out the land, they tore their clothes. And they said, look, verse 7, they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. It's not devouring everybody. It's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and that's the issue here, nor fear the people of the land, for they're our bread. They said, we're going to eat these guys for lunch. They said, their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They said, don't rebel against the Lord and don't rebel against his word. He's with us. We can do what he's told us we can do. Do you see how they had that mindset? They weren't in the land yet, but do you see how they were relying on God? They believed God's word. And of all of those who went, they were the really only two who represented him to the whole nation. They had that mindset of the Spirit, and they had to wait it out because of the unbelief of other people, but they eventually inherited the promised land. Now, remember in Romans chapter 8, it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. That means Jesus is sharing his inheritance with us. They inherited land. We inherit righteousness, freedom from sin and death, being made more than conquerors, and two of those great, if you want to say, things that we inherit are life and peace. Does Jesus have life and peace? It's his inheritance, and we're joint heirs together with him. If we have the mindset of the Spirit, even though every day we're going to have to kind of fight for it, just like Joshua and Caleb did to possess their promise. But if we maintain the mindset of the Spirit, then we can experience life and peace too, because Jesus died and rose again to provide it for us. It's part of our inheritance. Amen. Well, this is probably called leading the witness in the court. But we're not in court, we're in church. So I'll lead you. Don't you want to live by the mindset of the Spirit? Don't you want to live in God's life and peace? Then let's ask God to help us, but then let's believe that he will. That's relying on him. So can we stand together as we close in prayer?